Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Well, we'll just go with it. Okay. So let's start over. Take three. We've been trying to figure this out, guys. So I am not at home. I had a work trip, and I am at an allegedly haunted hotel. I've stayed here a few times. A few different times. I've actually had my own kind of experience here. Nothing too crazy, just something that I wouldn't even necessarily say paranormal. I would just say unexplainable. It was kind of interesting. But before we get into that, we were going to do a ghost tube where it kind of talks through the phone. It's an app. I don't know if it's legit. It's kind of fun to play with. It did say a couple of things. What it said, guide. What else did it just say a minute ago? It said...
You know, my memory is awful.
I can't remember. But it did go off a few times, and it's just a little weird. We were trying to record on my phone, or on my computer, but for some reason, the Wi-Fi is not working here, and so we figured it'd be better to do it this way. So that is what we are doing. What else did we talk about? I think that's about it.
You have that shout out to give?
Yes. So while I'm in Nacogdoches, we went to my favorite Italian place here. It is called Auntie's Pasta. They have amazing food. Well, tonight we had this awesome waitress. She vibed really well, kept our drinks full. She was funny. She was really cool. And she had a ghost tattoo on her arm. And I was like, oh, I love your ghost tattoo. I actually have one too. On my side, and hers is holding a beer, and she's like, oh, holding a beer? I was like, no, mine's actually flipping the bird, because Tori and I actually have matching ghost tattoos on our sides that are flipping the bird, because that's how we tell each other we love each other. And with her vibe and stuff, I just kind of asked, like, hey, do you listen to true crime and paranormal? And she's like, actually, I do. I'm looking for some new shows to listen to, because the ones that I've been listening to, they're all a bunch of old crimes, and I want to hear newer ones. And I was like, I got you, babe. So I told her about our podcast. She's going to check us out. So shout out to Caitlin at Auntie Pasta's in Nacogdoches. If you guys are in the area, stop by. Their food's amazing. Ask to be put in her section. She will have you fixed up. And I even have a cheesecake left over that once I get done scaring myself, I can go eat my cheesecake. I can't see the EMF detector. So if it starts going off, you're going to have to tell me, because it's kind of behind me. Can you see the light?
I can sort of see it.
Okay. Maybe. That's kind of in my peripheral. Okay.
I'm kind of far away from the screen, so it's not very easy to see.
I got you. Well, I'm putting it right there, so maybe. And I'm too scared to do this in the dark, so I'm not turning the lights off. Sorry! All right, so I am at the Fredonia Hotel. I love this hotel. Number one, this hotel is so cute. It's got very much a retro vibe. Like, my room is tiny. Like, it is so small, but it is so cute. Like I said, I love this hotel. I always have a great experience here. They do a good job of keeping, like, the original look of it, but still with modern feel, if that makes sense. So it's a really cool place. I have actually had an experience here. I may have already mentioned this. This is the third time we're going through this. So I don't remember. But I'll talk about it probably after I give you kind of the history of the hotel. Right after off the bat, I do want to say that I have looked to see what tragedies have taken place here, because normally that's what you think of, hauntings as something tragic. But I actually have not found anything about a tragedy that has taken place here. So let's just jump right in if you're ready.
I'm ready when you are.
I really hope this is picking me up. So I sound clear on you because I can't hear my microphone at all.
No, you sound great.
Okay. Okay. We'll go with it. Well, in the deep pine woods of East Texas, where the air smells of sweet gum, history seems to cling to the brick streets, sits a town older than Texas. Do what? What'd you say?
Just you tripping over words some more.
I know. I need to get more comfortable. I'm going to scoot this back just a smidgen. Okay. Sits a town older than Texas itself. Oh my gosh, words are hard. So sits a town older than Texas itself. Nacogdoches.
You're going to have to do some warm-up vocals before we do this from now on.
I need to see what T-Swift's warm-ups are so I can do those. Oh my gosh.
Kill me now.
Well, before it became part of Texas or even the United States, this place was already ancient ground. The Caddo people had lived here for centuries, calling their settlement Nacogdoches after a Caddoan word that meant place of the persimmon. Spanish missionaries arrived in the early 1700s, building the, you ready for it? You ready for my Spanish? Mm-hmm. Building the Mission Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe de los Nacogdoches. Got it.
You didn't butcher that one.
Okay. This happened around 1716. Over the two centuries, Nacogdoches would fly the flags of 9 different nations. Spain, France, Mexico, the Republic of Fredonia, the Republic of Texas, the Confederate States, and more. So it's definitely, it's called the oldest town in Texas. And I think it is one of the oldest in Texas, if not the oldest.
I believe it is the oldest.
I think so. I think I remember actually seeing a sign. Well, it's the place where past and present overlap, where you can stand on a street paved in red brick and feel the layers of history beneath your feet. Which just kind of also ties back to that restaurant that I was just talking about, Antipasta's. So that is actually in an old railroad warehouse. And it looks like they still have the original floors. They still have a bunch of the old doors in there. It's got like just a really cool feel in it. Frontier soldiers once marched these roads, and outlaws, traitors, and politicians have all passed through here. By the 1950s, Nacogdoches was a small but thriving East Texas town. It had Stephen F. Austin State College, a bustling downtown, and a community determined to make their mark on the future while honoring their past. But the town was missing one thing, a hotel. And that's kind of where we're going to start. So local businessman Jack McKinney had a vision. He's like, I know what we need. We need to build a grand modern hotel right in the center of town. But he didn't want just any motel. He wanted one that the whole community could basically claim as their own. So in 1953, he proposed that citizens buy stock and fund it themselves. They would basically pay $100 share, and it was open to anyone that wanted to invest in the town's future, basically. So anybody could do it. Farmers, teachers, bankers, shop owners, basically anybody. If you had $100, you could throw in and help build this hotel.
How long ago was that?
That was in 1953.
Oh, okay. I'm sure people had $100 here and there.
Yeah. I mean, that's still, even in 1953, that's still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Well, they called themselves the Nacogdoches Community Hotel Corporation. Together, they raised $500,000, and this construction began, which a $500,000 in 1953 is a
Oh
big
yeah,
chunk of change.
that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah. From the start, this was more than a brick and mortar. It was a symbol of what people of Nacogdoches had always believed, that you don't wait for opportunity, you build it yourself. When the Fredonia Hotel opened on April 1st, 1955, it was a celebration unlike anything the town had ever seen. More than 6,000 people crowded the streets to see it. Its six-story tower, which is what I'm in right now, trimmed in red brick and iron grill work, stood proudly over the downtown. The name Fredonia was chosen in honor of the Fredonian Rebellion of 1826, a brief but bold uprising in Nacogdoches when settlers declared independence from Mexico and formed a short-lived Republic of Fredonia. The name carried deep meaning: independence, defiance, and local pride. Inside the hotel was the height of 1950s modern luxury. Polished marble floors, cool air conditioning, a rooftop terrace, and in the heart of the lobby, a sight that left everyone speechless, a towering live tree growing straight through the center of the auditorium. That tree wasn't just decoration, it was a statement. Architect J.N. McCammon and interior designers from Dallas wanted to capture the essence of East Texas, the meeting of civilization and nature. So they left the tree where it stood and they built around it. It became the hotel's soul, a living, breathing reminder that Nacogdoches roots ran deep and that progress didn't mean forgetting where you came from.
That's kind of cool.
Yes, but I kind of have a sad, let me tell you, let me finish this paragraph, then I'll tell you. People loved that tree. Couples proposed under its branches. Families took photos beside it. And some said you could feel its energy when you touched its bark, a steady hum like the heartbeat of the hotel itself. With that being said, I have some bad news. The tree's gone. I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but I think it, I don't remember. I think it was like a storm or something. The tree's not there anymore. They still have like the open area, and I'll take a picture of it when I'm in the lobby tomorrow. And they have it set up really cute and kind of have like a almost a memorial for it. Memorial may not be the right word, but they have like this great big metal picture of the live oak hanging on the wall and like a little water feature, and still super cute, but the tree's not there anymore. Well, through the 1950s and 60s, the Fredonia was the crown jewel of East Texas. Governors stayed there, country stars passed through, students from Stephen F. Austin celebrated their graduations in its ballroom. It had a barbershop, a coffee lounge, banquet halls, and a sparkling pool surrounded by cabanas where guests sipped drinks beneath the striped umbrellas. And I love the pool here. To me, it just has that old-time feel, and I absolutely love it. The Fredonia wasn't just a hotel, it was a gathering place, the town's living room. But by the 1970s, times were changing, highways rerouted travelers away from downtown, chain hotels started sprouting up along the interstates, and the Fredonia's occupancy fell. Ownership changed hands, first to the Sheraton chain, then to private investors, but business never fully recovered. In 1985, that's a long time ago. Man, could you imagine being born in 1985?
I can actually. That's when I was born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think somebody's trying to get in trouble here.
Well, in 1985, the unthinkable happened. The Fredonia closed its doors. Josh was born, and the Fredonia's like, we cannot continue with this.
It couldn't keep up with my epicness.
Okay. Well, for the first time in 30 years, downtown Nacogdoches fell silent. The once bright atrium grew dim, dust gathered where laughter had echoed, and the grand tree that once symbolized life began to wither. And that's when the stories begin. Locals said the old hotel wasn't empty at all. At night, people walking past swore they saw lights flickering on the upper floors. Shadows crossing windows where no one stayed. Some said you could hear faint footsteps or the sound of piano music drifting through the air long after midnight. When Fredonia reopened briefly in 1989, strange things continued to happen. Staff spoke of cold spots or doors closing on their own, of a whisper that seemed to move through the halls, one longtime employee referring to a friendly spirit they called Happy Jack. He said to play tricks like turning lights on or off, opening doors, but never in a threatening way. Then comes the sixth floor. Just FYI, I am not on the sixth floor. I'm actually on the third floor, so I'm a few down. So hopefully if I'm visited by anybody, it's just Happy Jack.
I would laugh so hard if your lights went out right now.
I would be terrified. Let's not. Do not wish that juju on me. I swear. I swear.
It's going to happen.
Then came the sixth floor. No. I rebuke your devilness. Okay. Then came the sixth floor, known by staff as the most active ghost. Known as the most active, guests reported sudden chills, whispers, and the sense of being watched. Some described seeing the faint reflection of a man in mirrors that would vanish when they turned around. Still, the Fredonia refused to die.
Is that a mirror behind you?
No, it's a headboard. Thank you. But there is a mirror over there. I can kind of see it.
You may not see it, but he may see you.
Stop it right now. You're the one that's going to stay on the phone with me all night.
I told you, I'm only one call away.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, in 2015, Nacogdoches businessman and restaurant owner Richard DeWitt and his wife Barbara bought the decaying property. They launched an $18 million restoration, not to erase history, but to revive it. During renovations, workers uncovered water damage, rot, and remnants of the old tree. The original live oak had long since perished, but the DeWitts honored it by installing a new iron sculpture in its place. I forgot I talked about that later on. Just kidding, guys. A massive metal tree that gleams under the skylight, it branches, twisting toward the ceiling like reaching hands. When the Fredonia reopened in June of 2017, the town came alive again. The red brick gleamed, the cabana rooms around the pool were restored, the first city cafe and Republic Steakhouse filled with laughter, the Nine Flags Bar, named for the nine flags that have flown over Nacogdoches, poured drinks for travelers from across the country. And in the center of it all, the tree, reborn in iron. That scared me. I think you hit the mic and it scared me.
No, that was actually Hazel. She's in here with me.
Aw, little Hazel Basil.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see her.
She's on the floor.
I'm surprised she's not in your lap. Reborn in iron stood once more, its presence grounding the hotel in both memory and myth. Today, the Fredonia is thriving again. It's hosted film crews, artists, weddings, and yes, even ghost tours. Guides tell visitors that beneath the iron branches, if you stand quietly late at night, you might feel a chill or hear the faint sound of footsteps behind you. Some believe the spirits of past guests and town folk still linger, their energy bound to the hotel, to the tree that once lived, and to the one that took its place. And maybe that's what makes this story so fitting for Nacogdoches, a town that has survived wars, rebellions, fires, and time itself. Like the Fredonia, Nacogdoches endures because its people refuse to let history die. They preserve it, they honor it, and in doing so, they give it new life. So whether you visit for comfort, the cocktails, or the curiosity, just remember, the Fredonia isn't just a hotel. It's a living monument to the oldest town in Texas. A place where the past still whispers through the walls and where the tree, real or remembered, still reaches for the light. The end.
We went on a ghost tour once.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. There's been some other years where they had ghost tours going on while I was here, but it was a little bit later in October. I checked their little plan thing that they had in the lobby, and there wasn't any for this week. So I can't do any actual ghost tours. But I mean, they really did do a good job of keeping, like I said, the old feel of this place. Like, I absolutely adore this hotel. With that being said, I guess I could, you had forgotten about my experience that happened here last time.
Yeah, but I bet once you start telling me about it, I'll remember.
Probably. This is the first time that I've stayed in the tower part of the hotel. Every other time that I've been here, I've stayed in the cabana rooms of the hotel, which is right around the pool. Well, one night, I went to bed, and when I stay in a hotel room, I turn the TV all the way down, but I let the TV stay on just so that there's light, and I'm a big chicken, and, you know, gotta have my nightlight. I had fallen asleep, and you know how you're kind of like half awake but half asleep? Like, you can kind of hear what's going on around you, but you're not awake enough to, like, respond or comprehend what's being said or done.
Yeah, that's usually whenever I jump in my sleep, whenever that happens.
Yeah, so I was kind of in that limbo stage, not quite fully asleep, not quite fully awake, and I heard talking, and I remember thinking, oh, I forgot to turn the TV down. But the talking was two women talking. Like, I couldn't quite make out what they were saying, but it was two women talking. And, like, I woke up. I finished waking up, and they continued to talk, but I couldn't make out what they said. And then the last thing they said was something about she's sleeping, she's over there sleeping, something. It scared the shit out of me because it literally sounded like someone was in my room. So I, like, sit up. And in this room, you actually have two doors to enter that hotel room. You have the poolside one, and then you have, like, an exterior door that leads out to the street. So my thought is somebody's on the street and they're talking. So I jump up and run to the door, and I look out the door. Nobody's out there. I didn't hear another door shut, but I heard two women talking, and they said something about she's asleep or she's over there asleep. And it was just really weird because there was no, like I said, could it have been somebody outside? Maybe they made it to their hotel room, into their hotel room before I seen them, or, you know, just didn't hear the door. Possibly. I don't know. It was just really weird because it literally sounded like they were in my hotel room by the exterior door. And that room was a little bit bigger than the room that I'm in now. And in fact, I didn't even know this hotel was supposedly haunted at that point. I had called my mom to tell her what happened. Like, hey, I had this weird thing that happened. Like, what the hell? And she's like, well, is that hotel haunted? And I was like, no, I don't think so. Well, then my mom started looking into it, and that's when she found out that it is supposedly haunted. Some of the other claims are, like, that you'll hear children running down the hallways, and then you'll go to the hall and you can hear them. But as soon as you open the door, the sound stops and nobody's out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I think tomorrow I'll have a few hours to myself. I thought about going up to the hotel staff and just ask them if they've had any experiences they'd be willing to share. And maybe they'll let me record them. If not, maybe they'll just let me write down their experiences, and I'll throw them in at the end of this episode. So
yeah, that'd be really cool. I know we talked about that earlier, and I think that would be a fun thing for our fans to kind of see and witness.
Yeah, and I'll definitely get pictures. Like I said, I know pictures won't do it justice. This hotel is just so beautiful. It's almost like it's frozen in time. It's very beautiful. So, mm-hmm. And we had to give up on Ghost Tube, but I feel better now because it's not talking to me. And my EMF detector hasn't gone off at all. Like, it's just sat there on green, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were trying to talk to you a minute ago.
I know. It's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And I kept glitching out.
Just but. don't say Bloody Mary in the mirrors.
Stop it. Oh, you can kind of see behind you. So we did some updates on our Doom room. I hung up pictures, and so far they haven't fallen on anybody.
Yet.
You can't really see everything with the way that Josh has got the camera set up right now, but it looks a lot better. It looks really cool. So can't wait for you guys to see all of that.
I kind of figured it would be best if you just seen me instead of an empty chair.
All alone.
All by myself.
By yourself. All alone by yourself.
Drinking the best wine that's ever been made.
Oh, is that the blackberry one?
This is the blackberry.
Is it good?
Oh, it's so good.
I'll have to try. You have to save me at least one glass.
I can't make any promises.
That's rude. That's really rude.
I might just have to finish this bottle off and get some really good sleep.
Oh, okay. Just don't forget you have to get up and get the kids in the morning. Get them up.
Yeah. They tried to talk me into letting them stay home from school today.
Mm-hmm.
I told them no.
How? I took them to school today.
No, I mean, when I got up and picked up, they wanted me to let them stay home tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. But
they talked to me about it today.
I gotcha. I'm on the same page now. That's because they know how to work their dad. They, girls know that all they got to do is tear up just a little bit. And normally they can push you over.
Try.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. I've got a good one. I was going to do some research today for it for our next episode, which may come out before or after this. I'm not really sure what order we're going to put these out in. But I can't wait because I'm going to scare the shite out of Tori. So
That'll be fun.
Yes.
And yes. I guess I'm going to try to start working on mine. And I know we've already put one out on Candyman, but we found a lot of information about multiple different people by the name of Candyman.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were so many labeled as the Candyman or the Killer Candyman. Yeah,
I didn't either. Stuff. But apparently there's some really messed up people in the world.
Well, we already knew that. I'm married.
We've already known that. Yeah. You did that by choice. Nobody forced you. That you can prove.
You can't prove it. I was going to say, you can't prove it. That's funny.
Now, they did force me, though. We can put some pictures up there because your dad did have a gun to me.
That is true. I'm going to get grabbed by a ghost, and I'm going to perish on the spot.
You'll be fine.
Probably. I probably will. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Just a short little fun episode. Like I said, I'm going to try to talk to some people tomorrow, maybe add a little bit more to it. We'll add it in at the end of this and just see if any of the workers have had experiences.
Man, I can't wait to hear those stories if you can find somebody to tell you some of that stuff.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It'll be really fun. So we'll see how it goes. Ugh, I've almost knocked my camera down.
Did you almost knock your camera down, or was that a ghost?
No, it was me. I'm pulling on the wire.
Mm. I actually like that angle better.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Time for take four.
No. And that's if the audio is like super bad, and then we'll have to redo it. I don't know why their Wi-Fi is not working. I'll ask them tomorrow.
And signal here at the house isn't all that great either. I've only got one bar of 4G.
Oh, that's another thing that we haven't told anybody yet, the audience. Guys, hold your breath. We're getting actual internet at the house. Hallelujah. So hopefully it'll be better. We'll see how it goes. It's got to be better than what we've got now. So I'm excited. You just got to bear with us till October 30th.
We'll get there. And hopefully it's better than what you told me it is.
It's just what they told me it was. I did okay.
We'll have to see what it is.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, okay. Let's get off of here. Go like, go share. My throat's hurting. Go like, go share, comment. Our numbers are doing great. You guys are awesome listening. Hopefully we get some more. We appreciate all the support. And like I said, I don't know if our next episode comes out before or after this. It just kind of depends on what I get edited and when. But we got a really spooky one coming up. So,
yep. And thank you guys for supporting my wife's hobby.
That I drug him in.
You didn't have to force me too much. I enjoy spending the time with you.
The first time you looked like you were being held hostage.
Well, I mean, it was kind of like Ricky Bobby. I didn't know what to do with my hands, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You've done a lot better.
I'm getting better.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all we can hope for. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see y'all next time. Thanks for listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, y'all. Happy haunting.
Bye.